This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares my conversation with Rabbi Tom Alpert of the Temple Etz Chaim here in Franklin. Our conversation was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. In this introductory conversation, I learned from Rabbi Tom of the history of the temple and of his different path to this role. Did you know Rabbi Tom was a lawyer? Along the way, we talk of the shift from in-person to virtual during this pandemic, and yet still being present in spirit and community. I found the conversation easygoing, informative, and insightful. I hope you do too. The recording runs just about 28 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Rabbi Tom. All right, Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM on the internet anywhere, and 102.9 on the Franklin area dial. Today's session, we've got Rabbi Tom Alpert. Rabbi, welcome.
Steve, thank you very much. As we say in Hebrew, shalom, which means hello. It also means goodbye. It also means peace, but whatever.
In the context, it has multiple meanings. So context is important, of course.
It always is.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for taking some time from your busy schedule. I know you've got, with a couple of my colleagues, Pandora and Jay, you've got the priest, rabbi, and a minister talk going, but I figured we at least would get some time so that for everybody else in the Franklin area, if they heard you, but then hadn't heard of you and or the temple, we'd kind of give them kind of the short story. You know, so, the temple's here and it's been here for a while and you've got some plans on, et cetera. And we can just take it and see where we go from there.
Okay. Well, to everyone whom I have not met yet, welcome. I've been here in Franklin for 8 years now. Both at the temple and I live in town. But the temple has been here. There's a little bit of a debate about how long, but certainly, let's say at the very least, since the late 1980s.
Okay.
So we started out with a bunch of Jewish families who weren't sure there were any other Jews in Franklin. This was, of course, as the town was starting to grow like crazy. And so they put out a notice in the newspaper. Remember when people used to do that?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yes.
Certainly way before coronavirus.
Way before coronavirus. And they had a Hanukkah party and a lot of people showed up, much more than they expected. And they realized, hey, there's a community here. And one thing led to another and they eventually ended up setting up a synagogue. And we quickly joined the Reform movement of Judaism. We took the name of Temple Etz Chaim, which means the tree of life. We were, in people's houses for a while. We were renting space. And about 20-some years ago, we purchased property on Washington Street at 900 Washington. And we have been there ever since. The building is getting, it was an old house which we repurposed as a synagogue, and it's hitting its time. So we are starting to look very seriously at building a new building. We've gotten approval from the town to subdivide our property and we've started serious conversations with the builder. We've started looking at how to raise money and we'd have been much further along at this point, except for this little problem with coronavirus. So that has put this a little bit on the back burner, but we're still very much hoping to have this new building. And I think we're intending to is a better way of saying it. I know we're intending to.
Just a matter of timing, of course.
We're here in Franklin. Exactly. The point is we're here in Franklin as a Jewish community. We are the only official Jewish community here in Franklin, and we intend to be here for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Active with other houses of worship in the Franklin Interfaith Council. I've just come off a stint as president of that. My predecessor was president of that. Uh, So, you know, it's been a wonderful connection with other faith traditions here in town.
Indeed, indeed. I've seen you at least at some of the, if I recall correctly, at least the Thanksgiving sessions, for lack of a better word, celebrations, you
Yeah,
know,
we've been at the thank
reflections.
yeah we've been at Thanksgiving, I'd probably call them services,
Right.
and we've done that. We've done several other things when the Tree of Life, the other Tree of Life in Pittsburgh, when
Yes.
that bombing took place, the Interfaith Council came together and led a service over at that we used St. John's Episcopal for, and had a lot of people from the community come out for that, and actually had even more come out to our own temple's Friday night services, which we held at the Federated Church, which was a very moving event that Friday night.
And clearly with the building plans coming together, and then as those plans finalize, you'll do the more formal, you know, fundraising, et cetera, to fund that, 'cause yeah, money's always required.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if anybody listening, wants to give us, a big check, we're more than glad to take it. No, seriously, we're going to, yeah, we will be doing all of that in due course.
Yeah, I'm coordinating as part of the food pantry, because the food pantry, I think, as you're aware, purchased their own new building,
Yes.
new to them. Certainly, it's been in Franklin for a long time. So they're in the planning process to build it out, refit it, figure out how much they're going to need, and then start fundraising accordingly. So
The Food Pantry is a remarkable organization. It
they
really
are.
is. And, I'm glad that our temple participates with the Interfaith Council every year in helping to provide food for. In the past, we've done the Thanksgiving dinner. This year, I think we did some to support folks over around Christmas time. But, it's been one of our joys to be helping them as much as we can.
Yeah, especially in this particular time of need. I mean, there always has been, but it seems like coronavirus, while it's spun the plans for many, it certainly has really thrown a wrinkle into some of us as well.
Sure, of course it has. It's everywhere. It's hitting in all kinds of ways.
Right.
And that's again why it's so crucial to have the food pantry and all the important work it does to help people. When jobs are scarce and other things like that are happening.
Now, if I recall too, as part of the Interfaith Council, they just redid their web page, if I
They
recall.
did. We did. Yes. We were very pleased about that. We got our webpage redone. All the different houses of worship are now on there. So if anybody wants to find out about any houses of worship, they should check on the Interfaith Council is a good place to start if you're not sure what the particular church or synagogue is. But, or even if you are and you're not sure what our websites are, you can find them through the Interfaith Council. And of course, ours is Temple Etzayim. If you just Google Temple Etzayim, you'll find us.
Yeah, and I think I've got, and I'll have to go double check to make sure, the sense I'm saying it publicly, but I believe I have the Interfaith Council list in my list of URLs on the Franklin page, as well as I have as many of the individual places with their own individual URLs as well. So, yeah,
Fantastic.
there's multiple places. Not that somebody has to go to Franklin Matters, but if you happen to, we
It's a
provide that
great place to
service.
go.
So we talked a little bit about the temple. So you've been here about 8 years. What's your kind of short story?
Okay, my short story is that it took me a while to come to the rabbinate. I started my career as a lawyer.
Oh,
Yeah.
the legal profession.
I was a lawyer. I met my wife in law school. I worked for a firm. I worked for the state attorney general's office. And then, one day I realized as good as this work is, and I think it's important work, it wasn't quite the thing for me to do. And I said to my wife, I don't know if this isn't quite what I should be doing. And she said, what should you be doing? And I said, you mean anything at all? She said, yeah. I said, well, I think I want to be a rabbi, something I had not thought of for years.
Wow.
She said, go talk. I said, I'm too old. She said, go talk to our rabbi. So I talked to our rabbi. After a little while, I realized I'm not too old. And after a little while, I realized this could maybe happen. So there were twists and turns, but eventually entered the Hebrew Union College in New York, the Reform Rabbinical Seminary, commuted between Boston and New York for 4 years. Yeah, that was tough for everybody. And was ordained and have served, I was ordained in 2000, so it's now getting out of 20 years that I've been a rabbi now.
Right.
And I have served congregations, except for 1 year, all in the that I did an interim position down in Connecticut. All the rest of them were someplace in the greater Boston area. And I have been, as I said, here at Temple Etz Haim since 2012. You know, I think I saved the best for last. It's a wonderful community.
Franklin globally, and certainly the temple seems to be a very good part of it. So it fits right within it.
Yes. And I meant both parts.
Of course. Of course. Yes. Yeah. It's interesting too. There's a famous Steve. He's more famous than me, but his first name is Steve. So I like it. Do what you love in the service of those who love what you do.
That's very nice.
And I think you would kind of agree with that because you struggled a little bit in your finding that. Yeah. But seemingly you found that you, in the other places that I've seen you and certainly online, you generate both enthusiasm, some fun, obviously some concerns and, you know, despair and, you know, all those other human emotions. But you, at the heart, I think you still have, you know, hey, we're in this. Let's do it.
Yeah. If, you know, what I like to say is even the bad days are good. I am so blessed to be doing this work, and you know, very often it doesn't even feel like work. It's just, you know, being myself and being trying to be of service to the Jewish people and to the larger world. That's my goal. So we'll see how it works out. But the humor involves the fact that I know I'm more than aware of my limitations. So if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to be in trouble in this world.
Yes. Yes, it is trying, and from time to time gets more trying.
Yeah.
And the temple and you in particular, I believe, have been certainly taking advantage of kind of the social media tools to the extent. Certainly you're not overboard from what I've seen, but you're using those to help create awareness as well as, you know, in help the community itself connect.
Yeah. You know, it became pretty obvious that social media is going to be the way that you've got to reach people today and has been for some time now. You know, I could have made that speech 10 years ago when it would have been just as valid. You know, it's something that's crucial. We have to reach people in all kinds of ways. And so we have wonderful people at our synagogue who have helped. Our administrator, Adrian Castro, has done great stuff in many of our congregants. And so we're trying to reach out in all kinds of new ways to reach people where they are. And now, of course, with the pandemic, that work has turned out to be extremely helpful and is just really the start of all of the things we need to do to reach out to people and to connect, to have to have them feel connected to each other and to our missions. To not just helping our individual members, but repairing the world, tikkun olam, as we say in Hebrew.
And I think even in my conversations with, well, not just even, but in my conversations with Jamie Helen, our town administrator, and others, it seems like, you know, the genie's out of the bottle. And in many ways, it certainly is not going to go back, nor in some cases, it probably shouldn't go back. And there may very well be things where social, emphasizing the social part, not so much the distance part, can still accomplish a lot. Clearly, there are benefits and we do want to get back together because we ultimately are a people that live with each other for a reason. So, but if we can use the tools in the meantime.
You know, we've obviously done a gigantic amount of Zoom and streaming since COVID hit, and while, you know, we are more than looking forward to the day when we can all come back together again. Until that happens, we'll have to keep doing that. And I will tell you that even after that happens, we're likely to continue doing that in doing ways of reaching people who can't get into the building, as well as getting people who will get into the building.
Yep. Yeah, in many ways, it does enable, from a timing perspective, assuming people have the connection and the capability, but that's getting a little better over time. Then from an efficiency perspective, I know even my own reporting, when I was working, I could be in a work meeting and then swivel seat and be in reporting on a town meeting or vice versa, instead of, schlepping the half hour into the town hall or whatever.
Precisely. Thank you for using schlepping. That makes me feel comfortable. Always good to hear Yiddish.
Of course. It's just, having spent some time in the Jersey, New York area, one of my commutes, the devilish one, was from Flemington into downtown. So that was about a 2-hour one way. I did that for a couple of years. And then that was, fortunately the things changed. And then ultimately we came here to Mass. And then Franklin to Boston via the train was much easier. So, hey, I can do this. But yeah, I do pick up kind of the local language here and there. And I still recall, having been born in Rhode Island, I still know a difference between a bubbler and a water fountain too.
There you go. There you go.
Yes. So using the virtual streaming, you've got a set of holidays coming up that using. They'll be celebrated, but celebrated, they'll be differently this time around too.
Differently this time around, absolutely. So for your listeners who don't know, people tend to think that, Hanukkah must be the big Jewish holiday because it's around Christmas. And that's really not. Some people might think Passover because it's around Easter. That's fairly close. You can make an argument that Passover is our biggest holiday. But our other biggest holiday, leaving aside Shabbat, the Sabbath, which in some ways is the biggest, but that happens every week. Mm-hmm. But our biggest seasonal holiday, in addition to Passover, is here in the fall with Rosh Hashanah, which means the new year, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And Rosh Hashanah is, they're 9 days apart. Rosh Hashanah is on the first of the Hebrew month, and Yom Kippur is on the 10th. So that period is called, we call in English, the High Holy Days, which is to say, these are a big deal time. Mm-hmm. In Hebrew, they're the Yamim Noraim, which means the days of awe.
Okay.
And so they're the time that Jews, many of whom, express their Judaism in ways other than going to synagogue, they show up at synagogue for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's a big deal thing. We've been, because our building is too small, we've been doing our High Holy Day services at the Federated Church for years and years and years. We need that sort of space. Or we did.
Mm-hmm.
And this year came along.
Yes.
And it became quite clear to us pretty early on that our services were going to have to be online only.
Right.
Possible exception of doing one where people will be able to get in their cars and go somewhere. We're still working that out and talk, and do one thing out of their cars. But the main services will be online. And so we're trying to create special content for online services. They're going to be, our services for High Holy Days tend to be fairly long. And so we're having to shorten them up for video attention spans.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Perfectly reasonable.
And also reducing time, avoiding technical glitches that may crop up here and there too.
We're working, we're getting technical, we're having to get equipment, to make this all work. So I'm going to end up being in our sanctuary by myself. We have a cantor, Irvin Spinadl. Cantor Spinadl has a wonderful voice, but he can't be in the same room as me because of the risk of spreading the virus. It's not that huge a room. So he's going to be over in my study at the other side of the temple building. I'm going to have somebody in between as our tech person who's coordinating this.
Yep.
And we're going to present our services. They're going to be available on Zoom. They're going to be available through a live stream, and we're going to have in our full round of services. The Jewish holidays begin at sunset and end the next day at sunset. All Jewish days work this way because the, after all, the Bible says there was evening and there was morning,
right?
First day, etc. So that means the evening is part of the first day. So starting Friday night, September 18th, we'll have our Rosh Hashanah evening service. We'll have Rosh Hashanah morning services on Saturday the 20th, a regular one and a family service. Have a service on for the second. Rosh Hashanah is a two-day holiday. Don't ask. That's a whole other story.
That goes on. We'll save that for a future session.
We'll save that for a future one. That's Sunday the 21st. Then the evening of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is on Sunday night the 28th, and the daytime is Monday the 29th. Now, Yom Kippur is an interesting holiday in that you're required as an adult to fast for 24 hours. That's to say, no food, no drink. Ooh. So,
total fast.
One way, total fast, right. So if you're in the temple building, if you're in the sanctuary for most of the day, at least you've got something that you're still doing and you can sort of keep your mind off all the fasting stuff. But it's a lot harder when you're just sitting in your own place. So we're mm-hmm. trying to find a fairly robust amount of High Holy Day programming we can provide people so that, they can tune in as much as they want, but they'll have opportunities throughout much of the day to have some Jewish content and hopefully not just get over there, not just focus on something other than their hunger, but hopefully, as we are supposed to do with these High Holy Days, focus on using them as an opportunity to consider where your life is going and try to make resolutions to do better for next year. So we do our New Year's resolutions, we make them on our New Year's, and then we sort of say, all right, that's it. Those are the resolutions. I'm certain about these on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. And the goal is that hopefully by then we will have apologized to everyone for anything we've done wrong to them. We'll have apologized to God for anything we've done wrong with our relations with God. We'll promise to do better and then finish the Day of Atonement ready to start the new year with a clean slate.
Indeed.
But and virtually.
Together in spirit to that extent.
Yeah, because actually, and I wouldn't even say virtually, because we will be together. We really will. It's online, but we're real. All our people are there. They're real. They're connecting with each other. And even if they're connecting with each other through screens, they're still real. They're still mm-hmm. connecting. And that's what we're looking forward to.
Right. Yeah, again, we have to focus on the social part, not so much the distance part.
Right. We're not doing social distancing. We're doing physical distancing.
Yes.
Socially, I want us to be as connected as we can.
Yep. And connected in all the right ways, reinforcing the good behaviors, aside from the coronavirus, mask, hand washing, et cetera, but the spiritual ways that you're setting up because of the High Holy Days.
Yes. And we're trying to find ways to make sure that our community is connected with each other. We're trying to reach out to people who have issues with the technology and trying to make sure that this can work for everybody in our community. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's, by the way, part of the sense of trying to figure out how to do better is not just individually, but also, as a people and to look at the, when we look at the issues that this summer has brought out, when we see the concerns that have been very validly expressed about the need to make sure that everybody is treated fully as a human being and that our systems work to do that. We're going to talk about that as well and try to figure out some matters along those lines.
Agreed. Yeah, because clearly there tends to be kind of the separation of church and state from a fundamental perspective. But I think the issues that have been coming, and there's any number of them, but certainly starting with the coronavirus, has kind of really exposed the inadequacies to your point. And it's not just your point. I think a lot of people will recognize that. So even the founding fathers, you know, clearly had that design of, you know, all men are created equal, but it was literally just men. And oh, by the way, it was white men who were property owners. And then along the way, the women got the vote. And then along the way, others got the vote. And along the way, but we're still not there to that full ideal yet. So yes, there is still work to do. And it's good to see that that discussion is still happening. If anything, that's been a reinforcing point for me too, because I'm impressed with how the community is having to start that conversation in different ways to really address. It's a tough topic.
It is.
And it's very divisive, but we need to have that conversation and recognize the common humanity in all of us.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the fact that we're not there yet, I mean, the this Jewish story that says that teshuva, which means repentance or returning, you know, fixing yourself up, was created at the very beginning of creation, even before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
As a way of saying that our job every year is to look at ourselves and say, what can we do better? And that applies to our country as well. Mm-hmm. We have some great founding concepts. It's our job to make them real and to look at what, and to say, all right, we haven't done it yet. Let's get going.
Right. So we can truly get to the point where it's of the people, by the people, for the people.
Yep.
Yeah, with no exceptions, deviations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this has been an enlightening, somewhat joyful as well. So I hope others will find some insights in this. Is there anything else that you want to kind of touch on to share and before we kind of break up, go off our way, and then come back at some point in time? I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to do so.
You know, we have a wonderful religious school at our synagogue. We're going to be doing that online, and we have an excellent education director, Hannah Berman, who was spectacular with helping to think of creative new ways to make learning work, you know, no matter what the challenge is.
Right.
And so I would certainly encourage any families who were interested in Jewish education for their kids to contact us. I hope that in general, people can see that our synagogue is an active part of this community, and I want them all to be aware of that. And I want families who are interested in learning about Judaism, or individuals who are interested in learning about Judaism, to contact us. And Jewish families and individuals who want to be involved and want a synagogue as a home, we're here. Let us know you're there.
Indeed. Well, thank you for taking time today. Continue to do your good work. Be well, stay healthy, and shalom, I think, is appropriate now.
Shalom is appropriate here. All right. Thank you, Steve. Shalom to everyone.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.